All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Tuesday, July 17th, public meeting of Garrett County Commissioners. I want to welcome everybody and thank the Swanton community for hosting us today. At this time, if you'd please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Back.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Commissioner Tischner?
Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Precious, loving, heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today thanking you for this glorious day and this glorious week that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we continue to thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. We would ask that you be with us today as we go through this meeting and be with us that we make wise and sound decisions. Continue to do everything that's pleasing to you. We ask all this in thy most precious holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, are there any additions, deletions, corrections, public agenda?
No, sir.
Hearing none, we have motion to approve the public agenda.
So moved.
We have motion, we have second.
Second.
Motion and second. Agenda approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, or comments on the minutes? Hearing none, we have motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve minutes.
We have motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. The minutes are approved by mutual consent. First item on the agenda, we have a couple of bids by the purchasing department. Gentlemen, thanks for coming out. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We have three agenda items for your consideration, the first of which is a bid award. This is for the Abilene Community Center. It's an LED sign that they are putting in at their complex there with POS money. We did receive a total of three bids that were due on Thursday, June 7th. After reviewing the bids, and based on feedback from the Abilene Community Association, we're recommending the bid be awarded to Western Maryland Sign Service, bid price of $23,592. Again, it is through program open space money. They're actually going to have a little bit of money left over to probably do something else small. So 45 calendar days from now to proceed for them to get in there and erect the sign. And be done.
Questions on that? We'll take all of these at once, but
okay.
Next we have, gentlemen, is recommendation for award City of Cleaning and Paper Products, bid number 18-0621CC. The bid was advertised for 2 weeks. Bids were due on Thursday, June 21st, 2018. There's 18 potential bidders and then 4 bid services. 8 responses were received, and bid tab was attached for your reference. And after review for compliance and feedback for facilities maintenance, we wanted to award the 23 items based upon pricing and quality to 4 different vendors. Generous Supply Company for 12 items, Peppers, Inc. out of Cumberland for 7 items, AD Nailers out of Oakland for 1, and Intermural Packaging out of New Montgomery, New York for 2. We're asking you to reject the bids for L2, which is a 30 by 36 trash liner. We're going to another bid on that one. We're going to revise the spec on that one. And we'd also like you to reject the bid from AF Winland. It was rejected due to the high minimum order amount of $250 per order. And the contract period will be from July 1, 2018 to June 3rd, 2019. It may be extended with an additional 1 year with mutual agreement between the county and the successful vendors then.
Questions on custodial cleaning paper products bid. Next.
The final item is actually a bid rejection as well. It's for the Water Wheel Road Area Sewer Line Extension bid. We did accept bids that were due on June 14th. We did get a total of 3 bids, but there was an issue with the funding through MDE. So unfortunately, we are unable to use that funding for the project at this time, so the recommendation is to reject all bids for this particular project.
Okay. Questions on Water Wheel Road Sewer Extension? That's it. Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the recommendations by purchasing on bid number 18-06-07, 18-06-07? 21CC and 18-0614.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion second. Question motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Mr. Nall, board appointments?
Yes, sir. The first one is for the Garrett County Drug Free Community Association. This is for an appointment. This is a commissioner's appointment. Recommendation of the Community Coalition's Board for Kathy Beals for a four-year term that expires December 31st, 2020. And she has accepted the appointment if offered.
Okay. Let's can we do all of these as a slate?
Sure. The next one we have are for appointments to the Department of Social Services Advisory Board. These are recommendations of the board for commissioner appointments. The first one is a replacement for Bill Aspinall as community representative. The board recommends Scott Hollingsworth, who is a works for Appalachian Crossroads. The second one is a replacement for Jessica Salinas. This is a she's a representative of the she was a representative of Garrett Regional Medical Center. She's no longer employed there, so they're recommending that Angela Mathias replace her. Angela is also employed in Garrett Regional Medical Center. The next replacement is replace Jill Horner, who is a community representative. The recommendation is for Suzanne Ryan. Next recommendation is for a reappointment to the second term on the advisory board. And this is for Carrie DeSimone from Community Action and Linda Green, a community member. The reason, just as an FYI, the reason for submitting report appointments and reappointments is you can only serve two terms on the advisory board. So that's why there's a change in membership.
And all of those folks have agreed to serve if offered?
Yes, they've all agreed. The final appointment we have is to the Elk River Advisory Board. As you're aware, Bill DeVore is retiring from the county actually Friday, and the recommendation to appoint is to appoint Gary Earhold, who is our watershed coordinator, to fill the slot as the Garrett County Government Representative on the Elk River Advisory Board.
Any questions on any of the board appointments? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve that slate of appointments.
Motion to approve the slate.
Motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion, a second. Question, motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next up, request for fiscal year 2019 county property tax abatement. Mr. Nall.
Oh, yes, sir. These are annual requests for extension. The first one is from the Community Action Committee for a real property exemptions for the year for fiscal year 2019. These are for vacant property that is owned by the Community Action Committee. We have the Overlook Early Child Education Center at 41 Highview Drive in Oakland. The Grantsville Senior Center at 125 Durst Circle, Grantsville. The Transportation Museum lot at 112 Liberty Street in Oakland. The Liberty Street Center, 360 West Liberty Street in Oakland. The former M&T Bank Building lot in at 234 Main Street in Kitzmiller. The Transit Maintenance Facility at 225 Francis Sanders Lane in Oakland. The vacant lot at the future, what is the future Meadows Senior Center at 606 P Street in Mountain Lake Park. They did take a couple off this year that where we had over last year that were now have buildings on them and they're income producing. So they were removed from the rolls. These particular lots are not income producing lots for them.
do it.
Yeah, let's take
the next other one is for this building here, the Swanton Community Center. And this is for the, again, for a property tax abatement. This one is actually done through legislature, but a request for a approval by the board. This is done under Section 3, I'm sorry, Section 9, Section 313 of the Annandale Code of Maryland for property tax credit for the Swanton Community Center.
All right. Question on tax abatement requests from Community Action and Swanton Community Center.
You take any questions?
Not till the end. Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the property tax abatement request from Community Action and Swanton Community Center?
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second, question of motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution for other post-employment retirement benefits, otherwise known as OPEB. Mr. Knoll?
Yes, so this resolution is to eliminate the health care benefits for new hire, retirement health care benefits for new hired owner after June 30th, 2018. So this would eliminate health care benefits for people hired after July 1st.
Clarification.
Retirees.
Right. This is for the paper's benefit to make sure you get this correct. This would end the policy. The college doing the same thing, and so are the public schools. Post-employment benefits for retirees for only new hires as of July 1, 2018. Everyone in the system before that stays the same as their employment package when they were hired. This is just for new hires that'll be retiring 30 years from now. They're not going to have the same benefits back.
So part of the reason for this is to so we can manage our post-retirement benefits. Today, our unfunded post-retirement health care benefits cost about $13 million. So that would only grow. So we made some changes over the years, if you recall, in retiree health care benefits. Years ago, there used to be, it was for the retiree and family benefits. That was taken away probably 10, 15 years ago. And it was just for the employee. And then last year, we made some changes so that we supplemented, gave retirees that reached the Medicare stage stipends to pay for coverage to supplement the Medicare. So we're making changes in the program. As we move forward, this will give us an opportunity to get, hopefully in 30 years, somebody else sitting here will thank us for what we're doing today.
And point of clarity again, we're not actually in debt that $13 million. It's on the books because the way we have to book it due to GASB.
Correct.
It's not that we're actually facing
this
real deficit.
This will have to be on the books. As,
right.
It's a liability, but it's
exactly.
Not something we
not
have
a real
today.
Debt.
Yes.
All right. Are there any questions or comment on that?
You did say the college and the Board of Education are doing the same thing,
yes.
Right?
And part of the coalition.
College has already done it, yes. And actually, this is the most of the private sector has done that years ago. And in the state of Maryland, about half the counties currently do not offer it, as we're going to do. The other half have some kind of a different matrix depending on where we're at. This is not something that's unusual in the state of Maryland.
All right. So Resolution 2018-5 says, whereas the Board of Garrett County Commissioners has responsibility for approving benefits offered to county employees, whereas other post-employment benefits, i.e. OPEB, are among the benefits requiring Board of County Commissioner approval, and whereas the county offers OPEB benefits in the form of retiree health care funding to Garrett County government retirees based on eligibility that includes length of service at the county. Whereas Garrett County government intends to eliminate retiree health care benefits for employees hired after June 30, 2018. Be it resolved, the Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County is taking action to eliminate the OPEB benefit for any county government employee hired after June 30, 2018. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Garrett County Commissioners that the Garrett County government eliminate OPEB benefit for county government employee hired after June 30th, 2018 is hereby approved and made effective July 17th, 2018. Questions on the resolution? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve resolution 2018-5.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Does anybody have anything else? That ends the business part of the agenda. Next item is public comment and question. And
It's just for my information.
Sure.
I just finished a project where I was looking at property tax abatements and exemptions for municipalities in Connecticut. And in municipalities across the country, it's a big issue because they're always on the lookout for more revenues. So my question, I don't know how it's done here. Is there a set of criteria that you look at when you decide that somebody qualifies or not? For example, a lot of municipalities now negotiate those abatements with individual nonprofit companies, and they say, what do you do for our community, and you know, how can we partner? If it's a national headquarters for chemical engineers, they don't do anything for the community. So they're less likely to get rid of it. If it's a nonprofit serving community interests, does Garrett County have any sort of set of criteria you look at to decide when a company or a piece of property qualifies for a tax abatement or tax exemption?
Anything, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong here, anything that would be private sector would have to go through the state through probably some kind of economic development incentive. It wouldn't be for us just to say, well, fill in the blank, Walmart or whatever, we're going to give you a tax abatement.
For economic development purposes.
Exactly. And that would be at a higher level than us, state and economic development
so you can't give
programs money. That are already in existence. We can't just willy-nilly give it to somebody.
I think his question, we do a 50% tax credit for improvements to property. That was
approved. That's what I'm talking about. So we have a program in place that's perpetual because it's been approved by the state. That if a company, do you want to explain that?
It basically gives I think it's a 3-year or 5-year, I can't remember, tax credit that for 50%, I think, of the value of improvements to the property based on the assessment by the State Board of the Department of Assessment and Taxation.
That's for new businesses?
No, new or existing. If you own a business and you make $500,000 worth of improvements to it, it's verified by your assessment, then you get a 50% credit on the tax.
So it's automatic, there's no criteria, there are no requirements like number of jobs or any characteristics?
Not in that case, it's strictly based on the assessed value.
To that point though, the state does have programs and we work with them through economic development that if someone comes in and wants to open a new business or possibly expand an existing business, there are other opportunities then that are based on number of jobs created, amount of money put in, that type of thing.
That threshold is usually 25 new jobs, I think.
Yeah, typically that's it.
Paying a living wage and benefits or just 20?
They do have some criteria about wage. It used to be 150% of the federal minimum wage. I'm not sure what it is now, but there are some criteria for it.
Then on kind of what we did tonight on the property tax abatements, all the ones that I know that we've done since I've been here and the only ones I ever worked with when I was mayor are all nonprofit community organizations, so fire departments, community centers, these things through community action.
We don't even do fire departments.
Well, yeah, we don't even do fire departments, that's true.
Does churches pay taxes?
No.
They're good.
But, and that's a separate, exactly. So these abatements are mostly nonprofit and non-revenue-driven entities.
Are there requirements about services they provide to the community or anything like that? Or again, they can just, if I'm a nonprofit, I can come and ask for a property tax?
I think if it was someone new that hasn't traditionally received one, or, and the ones that have traditionally received them, if they haven't changed their mission statement from the beginning, you know, if someone new coming in, I'm sure we would have that conversation with them. We haven't given any abatements to anybody new.
So these are just renewing existing?
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Good question. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi there. My name is Roy Mosloit, and I'm the acting park manager at Deep Creek Lake State Park. I was the assistant manager. Al Preston was the manager. He retired, and they had me, the acting manager. I got the email and saw that the Yaukeani River Advisory Board was being represented here tonight, or at least an appointee. And so I just want to make an introduction, and if I can approach.
Absolutely. Sure. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
So there's my contact info, and I have an extra one that you could pass on to Gary, perhaps, Mr. Nall?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just an introduction.
Sure.
I'm new to learning the regulations and everything there. Maybe Gary is as well. But I just want to introduce and say thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Welcome. Thank you.
How long have you been with the state park?
I've been at Deep Creek for about 18 months now. I've been with the Park Service for 16 years.
Okay. Thank you.
I was the assistant manager at Sorrel Falls. In fact, I remember walking with the secretary of DNR with you, our little Army Navy banter.
Down along the river
memorable,
there,
yes.
Yeah. I never did get him straightened down.
So you work with Eric Knoll?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Judy, do you have a question?
I do have a question, and I'm sorry that it has to be this early, but I attended the comprehensive planning visioning session last night, and it was very interesting. One of the four categories, as you know, of the items that they were talking about for a sustainable environment was minerals and energy. And in speaking with the consultant who was manning the station, as well as reading some of the items that he had on his chart, I was a little, it was interesting to hear that there was so much mention of fracking already. And so I just wanted to just say that some of the comments were basically in terms of the county needing to plan for the contingency that the ban will be overturned. And talking to some of the other people who were there and who were making plans, it seemed that there was a lot of concern by individuals, that there was some concerted effort at the state level and the local level, at least in the matter of discussion stage, of working towards a ban overturn. And just in the name of trying to keep us active in the conversation, and everybody active in the conversation, I just wanted to ask what your comments, or what you are hearing right now in terms of some local conversations. Some of the people that were talking about things that have been going on are talking about not only locally, but also state officials, including our own, that have been talking about a plan. And I just have to believe that if we're starting to hear that, we meaning community members, I just am curious to know what you were hearing.
I can honestly say, personally, from my standpoint, I haven't heard anything at all in regarding fracking, quite frankly, in the past several months, and certainly nothing on overturning a ban. I haven't heard anything, so I'd actually, after the meeting, be curious as what specifically you're talking about, because I have not heard anything.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know.
Sure. Well, I can share. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I was going to say, it's just curious that you bring that up, because just tonight on my way down here, I stopped at a local store. Lady walked over to me and introduced herself and said, I met you during the fracking period. And she's from California, but I guess she must live here. I didn't have really time to talk with her. But I'm like Paul, I haven't had any comments or anything. I mean, she made no comments. She just introduced herself to me, said that's where, the way she met. So.
Nothing public or private. I don't know. people like to sit around and make stuff up.
Yeah, and again, that's why I would rather it be out in the open and that we can kind of talk about it.
I can tell you for sure that we haven't initiated, requested, or done anything along those lines. As far as we're concerned, it's done.
Well, and I was surprised, to be honest, because, you know, again, it wasn't on the objectives that they had listed, and there was really an emphasis on sustainable energy and renewable energy. But certainly they were there to get comments, and so some of the comments that were talking about a contingency plan in the comprehensive plan should be there when and if the ban is overturned. And I just wondered if you thought that that would be something that should be in the comprehensive plan.
I'll go back. I have not heard any, and I am curious what you heard.
I can share some of the. I took pictures of some of the charts and
I would be interested.
Yeah, and of course, you know, for as somebody who was involved in one of the petitions to you all about the zoning around the lake, watershed lake, it made me concerned, to be honest, that maybe that should be revisited if that was some of the discussions that were going on. Having the and I know the watershed plan and management plan are in development still, but having those be parallel in terms of the comprehensive plan and the watershed plan, maybe we should revisit that and talk about it again. But okay, well, I appreciate the honesty and I appreciate being here.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I went to that thing last night also, and I'll give you a specific. But first, I wanted to raise a more general question. You know that my bias is trying to get citizens, everyday citizens, engaged in government. Now, you guys have increased the number of opportunities compared to previous commissioners, and they don't always take advantage of it. There's nothing you can do about that. And one of the discussions I had with a couple of people that represented the contractor yesterday was about the process and the opportunity for public input. Now, last night was the second of apparently four of these little vignettes. And Deb said it was much better attended than the one on a Friday night from 6 to 9. This was at 3 o'clock, so people were working. I think there were about three dozen people that came in and out while I was there. And I asked about if that's the total public input. And she said, no, there's two more chances for public input. They're going to draft a plan and present it to you all at one of your meetings, I guess, and that would be an opportunity for people to come and make comments. But you know that when you have meetings at 4 o'clock, you don't get a lot of people for those kinds of public hearings because it's not a convenient time. The other opportunity for public input, she said, was a presentation that would be made before the Planning Commission. Now, it's at Wednesday at 1 o'clock or 1:30, and they don't get a lot of people in the audience. So, I thought the way it was run last time, 10 years ago, by John Nelson, was what, in my view, given my concern about citizen participation, was what I would hope is sort of a best-case scenario. Because he went around and talked. The consultants made about four presentations at Garrett College in the auditorium for the public, starting with, here's the RFP, are we missing something? Or beyond that. But I suggest, Deb came over and we talked at some length, that would it be possible, after they finish these vignettes, for the contractor to have a public forum at the college auditorium that said, all right, we've been through these process, the Planning Commission had these discussions at their meetings for several months, but again, they don't get a lot of people. Here are the lessons that we take away from this vignettes that are going to frame the development of our draft report. Are we missing anything? So that would be an opportunity just for the public to make comments at a strategic time before it's the end of the process. So I ask if she could do that. I think my personal view is that the previous one was accepted by the community, even though nobody got everything they wanted, because they've been part of the process. And then they buy into the process and sort of take ownership. So I'm trying to find opportunities where that could happen again. And she said she would take a note. So I'd ask you guys if you would be open to considering other opportunities for really a focus on legitimate community input into this process. And given that the two she talked about were at your meetings in the Planning Commission, which are in the afternoon and don't get a lot of people, I mean, look at the history of your public hearings at your 4 o'clock meeting. Very few people ever come. Is it possible that there could be a presentation by the contractor of the draft report to the community? So there's really three presentations of the draft report, and maybe you would want to have that before you hear your presentation. So I want to just raise my concern that it's shaping up to be a process that really doesn't provide a legitimate opportunity for citizens to provide input, and I'd like to see those two things added to give them that opportunity, and I think thereby increasing the credibility of whatever the product is that comes out.
Well, I think, I mean, obviously we'll have to talk about that, but I think that's a reasonable request. I think there's a lot of validity to what you said. I think it's a conversation with Debbie to see the mechanics of it, but I don't see, I mean, I can't sit here and say, no, we're not going to do that. I think
but
it's
you can
very...
say, yes, we'll explore.
Yes. Exactly.
That's all I think.
And I think, honestly, I think it's a very reasonable request.
I try to be reasonable in spite of what people say. I have two observations related to this discussion that Judy was a part of at the meeting yesterday dealing with fracking. I ran into someone that's owns five businesses in the county, hires about 100 people, and really keeps a pretty close tab on what's going on. And I said, what were your thoughts on zoning? I said, now that our delegate Weinzel has embraced the concept of zoning, he ran that company out of the county, is it really an issue that business people or others would be more open to than the past? And he went on a long discussion about how he's been talking to farmers. So I'd ask your query the question that there are a number of farmers that have been talking about countywide zoning as a tool to make fracking a permitted land use in the county if the ban is, I don't know if the ban even has to be changed. You can change fracking and say, well, there's been a technological change that doesn't satisfy that requirement. So that's the context. I guess you said you haven't heard it, so that the Farm Bureau talked about this at all, or any of those folks?
Anything from any of the farming community that I'm familiar with. Not a word.
So I don't know what farming community was talking about. So you know how these conversations can start and sort of take on a life of themselves when there's not a lot of substance always to them. So I just wanted to make another observation. People can look at what people say, I worked for 12 years in federal government. I was long learning curve, so it took me a while to see the light. And one of those jobs was working in the House of Representatives, where you learn that you can't really believe what people tell you, you've got to look at what they do. So there are people that look at what you all do, and there are, or don't do. And in this case, the don't do's have raised questions in other people's minds besides mine. I've shared my concerns, and there are other people that have similar concerns. And two things come to mind. One is the petition that Judy talked about that was presented to you all by 12 largest businesses at the lake, I think it was April of 2016, to change the Deep Creek zoning ordinance to bring it in compliance with the policy that you all adopted in the Deep Creek Management Plan that said there will be no fracking wells in the Deep Creek watershed because that's currently a permitted use in the zoning ordinance. It went before the Planning Commission and they said, yeah, we think that's right, we need to do that. And in fact, we think you need to ban all associated infrastructure, compressor stations, distribution pipes, everything else. But you guys haven't voted on it. And I don't know why. I've expressed my frustrations several times before. feeds into, or people find consistent with, these rumors that are circulating. So, yeah, would you reconsider actually voting on that?
I'll say that I think what we have is adequate, and it's in the watershed land. And to do something more than that, if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly.
Well, I guess the frustration is that what you have is contradictory. You've adopted the Deep Creek Management Plan that says we want no fracking wells drilled in the Deep Creek watershed. That's a policy statement that you adopted in the management plan. But the old zoning ordinance says that fracking wells are a permitted use in the Deep Creek watershed. So they're inconsistent. And the petition was, please make them consistent by changing the language in the zoning ordinance. Before, you've said, well, we don't need to vote on it because there's a ban. That's simply telling me how you would vote. My question is, can you vote and sort of take that off the table? You can vote any way you want, but you haven't voted on it. And again, my bias is towards citizen involvement. So if citizens get involved and they follow all the rules, they went through all the rules in the zoning ordinance about how to get a petition to you guys, but you never voted on it.
I would have to read both of them to see what exactly they say before I entertain.
I guess the easy answer is to reconsider it. I don't know. It's up to you.
I would just second what Mike said, just in terms of the perception, that there is a perception out there now. They're starting to hear these, because the zoning example was brought up last night several times, so I would second what Mike says, just as the inconsistency, and maybe it would put some things to rest. As one of the original petitioners,
So it leaves the interpretation open that, well, you guys don't want to change the zoning ordinance because you're part of this plan to bring fracking back to your county.
Yeah. That would be speculative at best. Quite frankly, I'll be very crystal clear on this again. I've heard nothing until tonight on anything fracking related in probably a year. I know of zero plans on anybody's part to reinvigorate that discussion, and I think I'm accurate, correct me if I'm wrong, that this board is not actively engaging in any efforts to reactivate that issue. I can't speak for other people. I don't know what other people were doing. That's a question for them. But as far as we're concerned, the issue was decided by the governor, and we haven't addressed it in any way, shape, or form since. And I have not heard in any relatively recent time any discussion from any citizens at all or anything. So that's as definitive as I can be on that point.
Okay. The question was, would you guys be willing to vote on the petition?
I think I'm comfortable in saying we'd be willing to relook at it. I can't say right now we'd be willing to vote on it or not.
I remembered what the second item was. We have a economic development plan in the county that was prepared in 2010 by the Development Corporation, sort of behind closed doors, with only invited people to participate in that process. The Attorney General's office came out with a ruling that said if the commissioners allocates or delegates policy making to a private company, it has to follow the same open meeting laws that you have to do. Development Corporation didn't do that. So that sort of says this plan is, I don't want to say illegitimate, but questionable. I've talked to you before about the need for a new plan, and you've said yes. I've talked about a process that's open to the public, and I think generally you've agreed. Now, at the forum in May, Commissioner Heinbaugh said, well, the plan needs to be, I think he said refined, I don't know exactly what the word was. So this is another issue raise this question, because that plan was not approved by 40% of the steering committee because they thought it was a plan to promote fracking. So if we're trying to keep it in place and just refine it instead of just throw it out, that is another piece of information that people can use to support their issues. So can we get a clear statement on what your intentions are regarding the economic development strategy here in county, and how a new one, are we going to have a new one starting from scratch, and will that be through the county with a process that involves citizens from the grassroots?
I think, interestingly enough, I think it was a week or two ago, as you know, we have a new economic development director. It took us a while to get there, but now we have one. One of the things, as he's getting his feet on the ground, he's starting to look at that. He actually sent an email that said, hey, you want to look at this, and start talking to people about it. And so that's where we are. I'm not going to sit here right now and tell you that we're going to start from scratch or we're going to refine. I think it's up to him to look at it and make a recommendation that we then can move forward with and direct, you know, yeah, we agree with you or no, we don't, but I think we owe it to him. That my thought is it's going to be, and there will be citizen involvement. There should be a lot of citizen involvement.
I agree with Commissioner Michael that the citizens aren't decision makers. They provide input like they're doing with this process for the comprehensive plan. You have opportunities for them to provide input, not trying to make decisions. So
I guess the answer to your question is give us a little bit more time on that, because that process literally just started 2 weeks ago, I'm assuming, but it might have been three, it might have been one and a half, but it recently, Mike's really got his eyes on that particular piece and let us know he's just now starting to break that down, internalize it, and start to think about ways to modify. Whether that means completely start over or whatever, I don't think we're there yet.
As you go through that discussion, you will remember that the finding from the Attorney General's office, which was put off until the new appointees from Hogan came in January of 2015, said that that was an illegitimate, said essentially that was an illegitimate economic development strategy because of the way it was developed without any public input. So, if it's not throwing it out and starting over, I think that there will be a burden on your part to say why you're ignoring the finding of the Attorney General's office.
Point taken. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank all of you for coming down to all the commissioners and our minister coming down to District 1 today. I'm sorry nobody else should come out. But this is the first time this has ever happened in the District 1 area. And I very appreciate it. I've got a few questions.
Sure.
Economic-wise, I know you probably heard about Jenny Randolph over here. Process made for the power plant in.
Hydroelectric,
yeah. I understand it was on the radio several weeks ago. It was passed through the Congress and Senate. It's waiting on for President Trump to sign it. Is that correct?
That's what I heard, John.
That's what I heard. But I know that's federal government ground over there. You got to know it's going to be on their own side or the Western Kansas side.
It's going to be on the Western Kansas side, but I don't know.
I can't answer that definitively because I don't know the answer. I was under the impression it was going to be on the West Virginia side.
I understand.
But I can't sit here and say that's exactly what.
That was my understanding. West Virginia, it was more level. But Maryland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then getting back to your amendment for the retirees or health benefits.
Yes.
Anybody heard from now? John, July 1st won't cover it.
Right.
So what I'm saying, in other words, somebody, a new employee coming on, they're going to retire, work till they're eligible for Medicare, probably. and we still have Medicare. Right? But...
Who knows? I mean, I don't think we can project 30 years from now where we are, because I don't think anyone can...
Way to hold on to 30 years service, or 26 years of service, the county covered health insurance for employees, right?
Right. And so they became eligible for Medicare.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then what I'm saying, so in other words, somebody starts young, they're about to work till Medicare, if it's there. But will the county, or right now you still have a supplemental plan for people on Medicare? It's called Select Quote?
Yeah. For current employees, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm wondering.
Right.
And will that still be available for people?
Not for new hires.
New hires.
There will be no medical insurance for people hired
first
today.
Yeah. And also another question, I don't know if you heard about from here up to Alamont to Blinken Lake, State Highway, they're going to repaint that road. It's, I thought they started by now, but it's not. But I was just curious, from here Swanton up the top of the Swanton Hill, it's been over 10 years since this has been done. I just wonder if the county might be able to look at that.
Yeah, I can see where that is on the list.
It's been at least 10 years since they did that.
Yep. I can check it out before we go.
Okay.
Anything else?
I can't think right now.
Well, you know where to find us if you come up with another question. Anyone else? All right, hearing none, we have a motion adjourned.
So moved.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
I think it was